Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In tonight's session, we will be discussing part 7 on the series of Dajjal. We have now discussed the minor signs and the system of Dajjal before the coming of Mahdi, and then the Dajjal as spoken to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Dajjal, he himself, whom the Christians refer to as Antichrist, and we also unfortunately translate it because of influences via translating words. For example, also this word Holy Quran, actually we are not translating it correctly. The word holy in Arabic is Muqaddas, whilst nowhere in the entire Quran or in the sayings, in the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the word Muqaddas is used to describe Quran. But because this adjective holy is used to describe the Bible, Holy Bible, under the influence of that, we say it repeatedly, we write it, and the translators of Quran also use the word holy as an adjective to describe the Quran, whereas we supposed to be saying lofty Quran, glorious Quran, mighty Quran, noble Quran. Nowhere we should be saying holy Quran. Similarly, Dajjal, most of those who write books on Dajjal, they will put in brackets Antichrist, whereas Dajjal will not be only anti-Isa alayhi salam, but he will be anti-Islam, and he will be anti-mankind, and he will be anti-everything that is good, modest, moral. He will be against any form of discipline, promoting evil upon evil. Thus far, I have mentioned we are dividing the discussion on Dajjal on two levels. One is, which I will discuss later on, the ahadith concerning Dajjal, the person, he himself, and how Isa alayhi salam is going to descend to slay Dajjal. But prior to discussing and enumerating and mentioning those ahadiths, I am now mentioning the ploys of Dajjal system, the schemes and the system of the Dajjal system, which is already in motion. And last tape, number 6, we have discussed the Dajjal system as it exists in the area of sport, entertainment, education, politics via so-called the good concept of democracy. In this session, we will mention the economical influences of the Dajjal system. And according to the Dajjal system, they say, and the ideology is based upon the fact that if they can control the economics of the world, or if they can control the economics of the country, of any country given, they will be able to control the life of that country, the lives of the individuals of that country. once they manipulate the economics of the country, they will be able to dictate policies to that country. Once they strangle that country into economical starvation, which will lead to political anarchy, then they will fund that country and subsequently control that country. That is why in the African continent, maybe a country can be bought off by the petroleum suppliers to that country, can be bought off by one single petroleum supplier to that country because of the income of that petroleum company, because of the financial might of that petroleum company. It can buy off the whole country. As far as economical control is concerned also, the Dajjal system is in motion. And they have got ways and means to strangle the individual, to strangle the country, and to strangle even the continent. But their aim is not a country or a continent. Their aim is to try and control the entire world and to bring it under a world, one world or order system. However, if we identify the problem and we understand the problem and we realize their movements and we come to know of their ploys and we know how they are functioning and we analyze their methodology and we come to know of their schemes, then inshallah we can stay away from them. And we can introduce an Islamic system. We must realize that Islam is not only going to Salah when the child is born to give Azan and Iqamah, when an individual dies to perform Kafan, Dafan, Salat and Janaza. We have limited our understanding and practice of Islam. We have put boundaries on our understanding. We, as Muslims, must realize that Islam is a total way, a complete way. The systems employed by Dajjal, as far as economics is concerned. For example, imagine a triangle having 3 points, and the 1 point we have got the upper point, the funder of the triangle, or the funder of the institute, or the financial capital of the industry, or the banker of that enterprise. And in the bottom 2 points, on one end you have got the laborer, the worker. And on the other hand you have got the so-called owner of that factory, of that industrial institute, of that financial institute. So at the bottom you have got the worker, and on the other side you have got the owner. And sitting above them is the financial institute, the bank. Constantly, you will find, irrespective of the government, whether it is our government or any government, it will constantly see that the worker is at loggerheads with the owner. The worker is dissatisfied with the management. The employer, the worker, is always agitating to riot, to strike, to go on leave, to protest, to take out marches, and the management is not satisfied with the worker. At any given time, there is no agreement between the employer and the employee, between the owner and the worker. There is constant rift, disunity, strife, tension, agitation between the worker and the owner. And the owner has got constraints, financial constraints, and he's got his hands sometimes literally tied, because above him is the financier, is the bank, is the one who is supposed to be giving him the financial handout so that he can run his factory, business, firm and keep his worker happy. So the one that is pulling the strings, the one that is calling the shots, the one that is dictating the policy, in reality is the one who is controlling the finances, the bank, and the interest rate. So the system is designed to create anarchy. The system is designed to create disunity. The scheme is there to create riot, march, strike. The system is there that most of the time, instead of production and producing and harmony and cooperation, most of the time is spent on negotiating table, striking, marching, and hundreds of hours literally go into planning, plotting, negotiating, creating of unions, creating of associations. All this is so that the person, again, his most valuable asset, time, is spent in the wrong place. Effort is directed to the wrong place. Energies are given and utilized in places of no value. So they have designed this, and the textbook says this, and the education system says this, and a person is reliant upon the bank. So the solution is to use whatever resources one has got without relying on the bank. Once a person or a firm or a country now relies on the bank, then the concept and the vicious machinery of interest comes into play. And interest is haram. There is no room for it in Islam. And any person's life which is rotating on interest will be ruined. Any firm or factory which is based upon interest will be destroyed. And any country that is indebted to the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, or the World Bank will constantly be groveling in poverty, anarchy, disunity, and constantly waiting for another handout from the IMF and waiting for another handout from the World Bank. At any level, this interest will ruin, destroy, create chaos for the utilizer and the user of interest. Whether it be individual, corporate, whether it be the firm, factory, industry, or the country, the system of interest has been declared haram illegal, prohibited in Islam for this very reason. Because via this, the wealth rotates amongst a chosen group, and the wealth is not distributed towards the workers, the laborers, and those who are sweating for their money. Now in Islam has got the solution for this, that there should be harmony between the employer and employee, between the boss and the worker, between the owner and the worker, and there should be mutual agreement so that a person is given a salary that he can live on, sustain himself comfortably, and fulfill his needs adequately. On the aspect of International Monetary Fund, which strangles the poor countries, and again, when we look carefully who is behind their International Monetary Fund and the World Bank, either a country gets finance from the International Monetary Fund or the World Bank, and it is six and half a dozen of the other. Whether you get it from here or there, the end result is still the same, that the country is steeped in interest, strangled to death, and the controllers of the IMF will eventually take control over the country and place their puppets as rulers, and these rulers will be living it up according to their standards, while their populace will be in poverty, shacks, having no food, proper food and clothing, no proper sanitation and electricity. The IMF influences over 183 countries throughout the world, and the rulers of those countries, after taking loans from the IMF and World Bank, have got no option but to take directions and directives and instructions from the IMF. The IMF has three objectives. Why I am mentioning this about economics and the IMF and the World Bank? Because this is part of the big picture of the satanic plot and the Dajjal plot, which is in motion. And all these things, whether it be sport, entertainment, education, politics, and now economics, which we are discussing, eventually this person Dajjal is going to be the leader, the sole leader of all these various aspects of evil and tyranny and oppression and suppression. He's going to come as the king of the evil. He's going to become as the king of the misled, as the king of the oppressors, as the king of those involved in tyranny, and as the king of the so-called bloodsuckers of the poor, as the king of the drug lords and the drug traffickers, as the king of immorality and the king of immodesty. He is going to come to control this and mastermind the evil progress on earth. The IMF has three objectives. Firstly, to maintain trade balance in the world. Secondly, to fix the rates of the world currencies. Thirdly, to keep an eye on the devaluation of currencies. Now, just if we look at the first objective, the IMF maintains a balance in global trade. This means that as soon as a country signs to become an IMF member, its entire trade goes into the control of IMF. Because the IMF will obviously ask the country for collateral, and collateral by way of mineral resources, and by way of goods and merchandise, and by the way of production and manufactured goods. They would not just give a loan IMFA is no charitable organization or welfare organization. It is a blood-sucking organization of poor nations. Then that country has to seek IMF permission to trade. Because obviously the IMF has taken collateral and now will tell that country that you can sell your product to this country and you cannot sell your product to that country. And you will then have to sell your product because you have taken loan from us. We are the shareholders now, and we are the capital, and we are the most important shareholders because we are funding this operation, we are funding this marketing, we are funding this production, we are funding your country. So you will have to sell this commodity and this merchandise to that country at a certain price. So they will tell you where to sell the commodity, and secondly they will tell you how to sell it, when to sell it, and at what price. So they are strangling the economy of the country. The volume of the trade is also fixed. If a country exceeds the permitted volume, then obviously the IMA will react. And how the IMA will react, it will devaluate the currency of that country. And by devaluation of the currency of the country, obviously if you borrowed 1 rand from the IMF and you did not follow the instructions of the IMF by listening to the directions and directives and instructions and injunctions, then they will devaluate your currency. So instead of owing them 1 rand, they'll devaluate your currency. Now you owe them 2 rand. Now they will go a step further. We must realize that the IMF has got memberships. And they have got memberships of 10 big countries which directly affect the world economy through the IMF. And each country, these 10 big countries, they have got shares in the IMF. The share of the United States in the IMF is much more than all other countries. The share of the United States in the IMF is 17.6%. Japan comes next, and having the share of 6.5%. Then Germany 6.2%, France 5.1%, England 5.1%, Italy 4.3%, Saudi Arabia 3.3%, Canada 3.02%, China 3.02%, and Russia has 2.8%. This way, all these 10 countries, they hold 56% share the total reserves and assets, profits, dividends of the IMF, while the remaining 173 countries altogether, they share 44%. On account of this imbalance, these 10 countries are ruling the economy of 173 countries. So we can see what type of manipulation, well orchestrated manipulation, is taking place, so that the individual is strangled via their interest system, the firm is strangled via the interest system, and the countries upon countries are squeezed. When a person cannot pay, in simple language, when a person cannot pay the loan he has taken from the bank to purchase his house, or to purchase furniture, or to purchase any electrical item, and because of the vicious rotating interest system, when he loses his job, becomes retrenched, or he has got some other financial commitments or medical difficulties, he does not keep the meter ticking of paying the bank, eventually the bank repossesses the goods, repossesses the electrical items, repossesses the house, and the person is left outside his own house, so-called own house. But because he got involved in the system of interest and could not meet the payments, he loses everything that he so-called possesses. Similarly, the one involved in interest and interest is preached, propagated, marketed, and given out freely. The system is propagated freely and encouraged for individuals to take and get involved in the system of interest, so that the goods of a person, the belongings of a person, goes into the assets and possession of the bank. Similarly, the firm owner, the factory owner, he gets involved into this vicious system of interest, which the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is upon. When the person cannot fill his financial commitments via getting involved into the interest system, eventually he loses the factory, he loses his machinery, he loses his production. The farmer also, he buys equipment and getting funded from the bank. When eventually he cannot pay, the bank takes his farm. The funder, the financial institute. In the same light, in the same way, like how the individual loses the house to the bank, how the factory owner loses his assets through having contact and been funded by the bank, and how the farm is lost to the bank, the country and countries upon countries are lost to the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank, and eventually the country is running, but it has been funded, dictated, controlled, manipulated, monitored, and directed by the directors of the IMF, by the directors of the World Bank, by those sitting there who funded the country, that devaluated the currency of that country, and that whole country is now indebted to the IMF and World Bank. Eventually the country is lost, and the country is lost totally to the dictates, the whims, and the fancies of the IMF and the World Bank. So, coming back to our triangle, that how the funder is sitting at the top, funding the laborer via the owner, giving the owner some money, and the owner is giving the laborer. Whereas it should have been a non-interest venture, a partnership venture, a free loan system, not that a so-called financial institute, which is so-called powerful, using the paper money system, which has got absolutely no value. And now from the paper money system we are going to progress, and we have already started progressing into a pulse digital monetary system, which has become the order of the day, and it is one step ahead of the paper money system, which did away with the gold system, with the silver system, which is the original, and which eventually will solve the financial problems of the world. When we go back onto transacting via the system of gold and not via the system of paper money, because this system is destroying, and it is linked to interest. So we can see in this session that how the IMF and the World Bank are controlling, then we must now sit back and think carefully, who is behind the IMF? Who is behind the World Bank? Who are those who design the policies? Who are those who design the injunctions, the laws of the game? And we realize that countries have become pawns in the game, and that same group that wants to control the world is controlling the IMF, is controlling the World Bank. And the solution is that Muslim countries, which are financially powerful, and there is no such thing that Muslim countries are not powerful. Muslim countries are financially powerful via the petroleum and via the gold, etc. And they should realize it is time for them to create a Muslim international fund. Just as the IMF is functioning,